Good morning. I would like to welcome you to the Harris & Harris Wealth Finance and Stilettos teleconference series. My name is Zenelia Harris, Certified Financial Planner and President of Harris & Harris Wealth Management Group, a firm focused on the financial success of executive women who are going through various life transitions. The Finance and Stilettos teleconference series highlights dynamic and powerful women of influence whose stories I feel should be shared to motivate, encourage, and enlighten women professionals and women business owners so they can make healthier professional and financial decisions. I would like to welcome Altonia Garrett. Over the past 6 years, Altonia has worked with Capital Caring in various roles to include clinical supervisor, executive director for the Alexandria, Virginia community, and currently the executive director for the Prince George's County, Maryland Neighborhood Office. Altonia has 15 years of experience working with the long-term care continuum with a focus on marketing and business development for skilled home care services, home infusion, and hospice and palliative care. Altonia is a graduate of James Madison University, Marymount University, and the University of Maryland University College. She has served on the board of directors for the Virginia Association of Hospice and Palliative Care as Capital Caring's representative. So let's welcome Altonia to the call today. Hi, Altonia.
Hi, good morning.
So we learned a little bit about your background. Can you share a little bit about how your career led you to the hospice care community and Capital Caring?
Yes, ma'am. It all started with just a simple passion to service others, particularly starting off in school focused on the long-term care population, seniors. So it all started there and working in various environments, including the home care environment that you mentioned and home infusion, as well as being a director of an Alzheimer's care unit. All that, you know, continued to lead me to go towards hospice care because I had mingled with it in those other industries, and then I went ahead and pursued an opportunity, and from there I fell in love with it. It's a great service to offer folks. It's a benefit that's paid that they pay into over the years, mm-hmm. and people just don't know about it. So being out there talking about the services, I saw the trend that people just did not know, they were unaware about the services, and so it just continued to keep me in hospice, to keep people mindful and aware and about the services and benefits that they pay into over their life that they don't know about.
Okay, okay. So, well, that's a great segue into the importance of hospice to our community. Can you share some insights as to how important these services are to our community?
Hospice services are extremely important services for the community. Excuse me. Let me dispel a quick myth. People think hospice is a place that people go to when people pass away. People think about hospice. Hospice equals death. And that's not true. We focus on living in hospice care. We focus on the quality of life a person has. For a person that is living with a life-limiting illness, hospice is a philosophy of care that focuses on improving pain and symptoms and helping folks live and have a good quality of life for as long as they have with their limiting illness.
Mm-hmm.
Hospice comes to them. The care comes out to what folks call home, and the majority of the care is done in a person's home care setting, or it's a nursing home or assisted living facility. We've cared for people that are homeless even. So wherever they call home, we go to them with services from a nurse, a physician, a certified nursing assistant, volunteers, chaplains, social workers. It cares for the whole person. So a lot of folks don't know that and realize that. And so that's really important to know.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I didn't know all of the services that hospice provided. And you're right. My initial thought when I think of hospice before I encountered you was that mm-hmm. hospice, you think of hospice and you think of someone is about to die. And
right.
with you communicating to me that it's really about the quality of life that that person
Absolutely.
Has with this illness that they're that they're dealing with, and it's making sure that they live whatever, however many more days they have, in an environment where they're getting proper care. That's
exactly.
Very, very important.
Absolutely. And it just, you know, hospice, we come in there and we help support the families, and it's a part of it, the whole team approach. It's patient-centered, and that they drive the care. And we help create that plan of care based on their individual needs, wants, and desires. And then we wrap our arms around the family as well to support them through that process, however long that is. It's like I said, the whole person is patient-centered. The family and patient drive the care. Once a person's transitioned, we do follow the family and support them 13 months after that person passes away to get them through every major holiday, the anniversary of the death, and so on, through our bereavement counseling program. So we have support groups, one-on-one counseling, things like that for families. We had we recently had a camp last month, a Point of Hope camp, where we had children, teenagers, and adults come to together and have a camp-like environment, like a grief camp, where they did different exercises and memory quilts and things like that to help them through that process. So it's a great need out there, and folks don't know about it. And that's what I'm here for. That's why I work and do what I do.
So talk to me a little bit more about the family support in this grief camp. So where did the idea come from, and are you planning on expanding it in the future?
Absolutely. We Capital Caring has always done the grief camp. Part of the hospice benefit is the bereavement service as well. And Capital Caring is so passionate about the bereavement part of that because we know the importance of a loss, and people, when people experience a loss, the importance of helping support them through that. And so they had grief camps, and each office that we have has their own camp. And this has been the first one in Prince George's County in quite some time. And we try to do them annually, once a year around the summertime when kids get out of school. It's a two-day camp. And we plan to do it annually. There were talks about doing another one in the fall or the winter time around the holidays.
Right.
So that's not confirmed yet, but I definitely will get information back to the listeners if we do branch out for that.
Okay, definitely. Because I think that a lot of people have a lot of issues around dealing with bereavement and understanding the steps that you go through when you're grieving, and then identifying where you are in the grieving process and how to appropriately deal with that. So I think that's fantastic.
Yes, and that's open to anyone out there experiencing a loss. They don't have to be a Capital Caring family member. You know, we're a not-for-profit agency, so we give back to the community in that regard. So if anybody ever needs that support, we're here anytime. With our bereavement counselor team. So.
Yes, that's a great thing that you're offering to the community. I love it. I am so excited about being able to share this information because a lot of people may feel that they're alone. And
absolutely.
The holiday, especially when we get into Thanksgiving and Christmas, can be extremely hard for people who have lost someone very close to them.
Absolutely. And we do go around and talk to different areas, you know, churches or anybody that wants to have our grief counselors come and do programs. We're open to that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go dive into you personally, and can you share with me some of the attributes that have made you successful at Capital Caring?
Well, for me, I think it all boils down to just having drive and initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing where I want to go. The first step for me was having the passion, knowing what I cared about most, and then just following that on, and then having the drive to and follow through. So making it known where I wanted to go, talking to people, learning all I could learn from doing different jobs in the company, you know, with the marketing, with being a clinical supervisor, all those different avenues. And just being, letting my work speak for itself, so to speak. So doing what I say I'm going to do, follow through, making myself somewhat of a go-to person, and people seeking me out for advice or guidance in certain things within the organization that I believe has made me successful just in the organization alone. The drive, taking action, follow through.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna tap into something with your desire to actually get into this area of healthcare.
Okay.
Was there something in your youth that kind of triggered it for you? That that kind of led you in this path when you decided to go to school.
It's actually the total opposite of what
okay.
I wanted to do. I initially wanted to be a pediatrician. So,
okay.
And caring for babies is a delicate population and, you know, vulnerable group. So I just transitioned that to a little bit of older, on the flip side of that, where our senior population is just as vulnerable and, delicate and precious as well. And so just in school, learning different realms of the healthcare system, you know, from
mm-hmm.
hospital-based care or nursing home-based care, things like that, I kind of just focused into that nursing home-based care, that long-term care in the seniors. So probably just the love of my grandma, my aunties, you know, seeing folks out there not knowing and not being able to navigate the system and things like that, just that I have to get out there and try to make a difference in some regard. Initially, I was going to be a nursing home administrator.
Okay.
To change the face of that industry. So now I just ventured on over into hospice. And I stayed in hospice working with my family who had to experience hospice care directly, who
okay.
didn't get it, who didn't understand hospice, who
okay.
thought hospice was going to come and kill people, you know. That motivated me to stay in there and dispel those myths and to help them understand that this is a great service that they pay into. You know, it's 100% it's free service, so to speak. Hospice care is covered at 100% by Medicare and Medicaid. You
okay.
know, there's no out-of-pocket expense for patients and families.
Okay.
All the third-party payers pay for it,
okay.
usually at 100%. So just kind of knowing all of that and just trying to get my family on board and things like that, knowing that other families needed to know this, and I thought I was the vehicle, you know, the voice for that. So that's how I'm here and why I stay here, just that passion alone and wanted to, enlighten folks about what's great and what's out here for them and available for free. You know, it's a great
mm-hmm.
benefit, the best kept secret. People
yes.
just don't know.
Right.
And I'm here every day, and I go to work every day just to keep on letting somebody know about it, you know.
Talk to us about some of the other ways, because you mentioned the bereavement camp, and what are some of the other ways that you are informing the community of the services that you all offer at Capital Caring?
We are out there trying to do just a variety of different things. I believe in a lot of, you know, grassroots efforts. We've
mm-hmm.
had tables at Forestville Mall over in Maryland. We try to work with churches. We have a program called In Good Faith, where we really want to try to work with pastors and churches to help spread the word and knowledge there. We know in the African-American community, you know, faith and relationship with Christ and so on is very important. So trying to seek and meet people where they are, you know, whether
mm-hmm.
it's the churches or going through schools and senior centers, places like things like that, working with veterans. You know, we have a We Honor Veterans program,
mm-hmm.
things like that. We're just trying to reach out every venue we can reach out to inform folks, we do. I recently, with the Chamber of Commerce, did in the school system in Prince George's County, did principal for a day, you know, and I was a principal at an elementary school, and I talked to a lot of people there about hospice care. So wherever I can get out there and anything I can do, I do. But our Capital Caring organized programs are our Point of Hope Camp, our In Good Faith, We Honor Vets, are some of the three top programs that we offer to folks. So.
Okay.
We're out there
okay.
trying to do all we can. And, of course, you know, we reach out to hospitals and nursing facilities and things like that to continue to spread the word.
Right. Okay. So based on your experience as a professional woman, what are some tips you can share to help others towards advancing their careers towards executive leadership?
Okay, that's a great question. I was thinking about that. For me, again, like I mentioned earlier, drive. Excuse me, sorry. It's having drive
mm-hmm.
and then having a passion for what you do. Taking action. You have the drive and you have to take action. You know, you attend a company events, you get on committees, you know, or simply sometimes it's choosing the best seat available when you're in a conference table, conference room, positioning yourself so you can see the people who make decisions, so they can see you and see your involvement and see your dedication to be there. Go the extra mile in what you do. You know, don't half step. If you can't go the extra mile, then go extra half mile. But just give a little something extra each day when you're working and presenting yourself. I think in taking risks are important. Calculated risks. Don't just go out and, you know, just do random risk taking. But take calculated risks and know the rules of what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that you express yourself in ways that benefit you. You know, exude confidence and present yourself with a good tone and present facts and solutions to different scenarios. And then kind of just knowing your vision, knowing where you want to be and then carry yourself appropriately to get there, or present already like you're there, like you've arrived, so that way you can have that mindset every day that you're taking a step further to the next level. Know your industry, stay abreast with the trends and things like that, I think, are keys for folks to start in the path of success.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to, you mentioned risk. So tell me, share with me what you felt were risks that you took with your career to get you where you are today.
I'd say personal, or I guess personal professional risk. For instance, for me, as you read in my bio, I've worked in a couple of our different locations, and
mm-hmm.
I would say, for instance, my last location before taking over our Prince George's County neighborhood office in November, last November, I was working in our Alexandria office in Virginia, where I was comfortable, so to speak. I knew that area very, very well. I had a team that I knew. Things were kind of going on in that direction, and I would say I could have stayed there in my comfort zone. Because I knew that stuff, you know, I knew that area, I knew that very well. But I think one of the things in moving to our Prince George's County neighborhood office, it wasn't a risk, so to speak, but it was me stepping into a new challenge,
mm-hmm.
in terms of having to almost start from scratch in terms of building relationships in the community, helping, you know, revive and reboost the staff there and things like that, And it's been a little bit of a challenge in terms of just turning that around. As I was in Alexandria, it was comfortable. I was there, you know, and I knew all the things I knew. But I think stepping out and coming over to Prince George's County, which is our largest office in the organization, you know.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so that was, because when I think about risk, it sounds like, oh, you're stepping out on, you know, on hot water. But it's not about that. It's about just Going the extra mile for myself is going over here, taking on a larger office that I don't know the community, or I don't have resources available like I do in my other neighborhood, things like that. But I've always been one for a challenge. I think that goes with the risk. Be open to challenges and new things.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I would look at the risk and look at it like it's what I want to say. Talk about being calculated. So I knew coming to Prince George's County, I had something special to offer to my teammates, my colleagues, and my employees over there. So that was the most recent thing I can think of in terms of risk.
Okay.
Another one going back further would be from stepping out of the industry that I knew so well for the longest time was home care, skilled home care and home infusion. I left that and stepped into hospice, you know, almost as a risk, not knowing what I didn't know. Having to learn that. But that was probably the best risk I ever took, because I'm very, very happy, and I think I found my place here in hospice. So those are some examples.
Well, I think that's a great example. A lot of times you can, when you're comfortable with something, you don't want to move. It feels good.
Exactly.
And the fact that you stepped out and you're taking on a challenge, in order to grow, because to me that's what stepping out and taking risks does to you. It helps you to grow. It helps you to develop in other areas that sometimes you may feel like, oh, I don't want to work on that area.
Mm-hmm. I'm good where I am, you know. Yeah. But I've never been that, you know, I've never been that way. And I think a lot of folks are that way, you know. And then we complain about not doing anything different, but we didn't take a different approach or a different step or risk. So we have to look at that, look at those opportunities to take risk and be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, share. So, of course, you know, since you're talking to me, I'm going to tap into the financial aspects.
Absolutely.
So, share with me the best financial decision you've made as a professional woman.
Hmm. I probably need some more guidance, but I think from my novice level of knowing is that one, just taking and focusing on saving, putting money in saving, my own savings, and I also take advantage of my company's 403B
mm-hmm.
Their plan, because most companies have a 401K or 403B or some type of retirement savings plan, and I think taking advantage of that is a great thing for all people to do. Companies, they match you up to a certain percentage, and
mm-hmm.
I think maximizing, you know, hitting them where they match, maximizing that, that's some of the things that I've done. I know when I did work my way up and begin making more money, at one point I didn't even notice. I was like, Dad, did I get a raise? Because I didn't notice because I was still putting that much money into my retirement account,
right.
You know. And that was okay because I was okay before I got the raise, and I was been able to save and have that money for my future. And then paying off debts, if, you know, any lingering, you know, credit cards or other debt you can pay off, and high interest cards, things like that, taking care of that. And then just not overspending, being cognizant because you've grown in your finances, so to speak. You still don't have to, you know, be overzealous in your spending. You can still have a good budget. Adhere to it, set aside savings, do your 403B, things like that is what the steps I've taken to help ensure, you know, some good freedom in terms of my finances and struggles. So those are things that I've done.
I think that's fantastic because one of the things that I advise people on is, you know, definitely putting it when you get a promotion or a raise to actually take a portion of the percentage that you get and automatically have that go towards your retirement.
Exactly, that's what I do.
You're already living fine before it, so you should.
Exactly,
anyway.
Exactly.
You're living
that's
with
the mindset I had, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
so
what I
think
that's
fantastic. A fantastic tip, and it just reiterates what I already say anyway, so I love to hear someone else come back.
Good, yes.
And share that information as well that they're doing it. So I think that's fantastic. So, again, Altonia, I want to thank you so much for the great information that you've shared today. And if you can share with us information on how people can learn more about Capital Caring and the services that your organization offers. Can you share a website, phone numbers of ways for people to learn more?
Absolutely. Our website is www.capitalcaring.org, and that's capital CAPITAL caring.org. Our phone number, if folks said, oh, I think I want to refer people to hospice or for Capital Caring, that number is 1-855-571-5700. And then there's folks that say, hey, I want to talk to Altonia and hear, you know, more from her, or have her office team come talk to my church or talk to us more about it, my group, my women's club. They can call me at my office at 301-883-0866. And one last contact, I can be emailed if they need to email
okay.
me. I'm at algarrett, it's G-A-R-R-E-T-T, at capitalcaring.org.
Okay.
We are here for you. We are here for the community. We want to raise awareness. We want people to know about this great benefit that exists, that's out there, that's free, you know, that's there for them to help folks care for their own, and we come in there and help take care of them as well and support them. So I am here. We are here for that. Please call us if we can help or give them more information.
Thank you so much. I'm going to repeat that information. So
okay.
for those who are interested in learning more about Capital Caring and the services that they offer, you can reach them at capitalcaring.org. That's capitalcaring.org. You also can reach out to them via telephone at 855-571-5700.
Mm-hmm.
And you can personally reach out to Altonia at A-L-Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, at capitalcaring.org. Again,
yes.
Altonia, thank you so much for your time today. And I hope that more people will learn more about the services of hospice and if they need to tap into it for their families and friends, that they will reach out to your organization for support.
Absolutely. It's always great to have a plan before the panic. So give us a call.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
My pleasure.
Take care.
You too.